This is James Corbett of The Corbett Report, and today I'm joined by a man to whom my listeners need no introduction, Mr. Alex Jones. Suffice it to say, he's a researcher, journalist, documentary filmmaker, and syndicated radio host whose InfoWars juggernaut is the very tip of the spear in the fight for liberty against the New World Order. Mr. Jones, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Well, thanks for having me on. You know, I'd like to think of InfoWars.com and the websites as the tip of the spear in the films I've made, but really, it's only that we've captured the imagination and the dreams of the people of the world that we've had the success we've had, but we're a very small part of the tens of millions of active people who are out there ringing the alarm about the global crime syndicate and the world banking takeover that they've engineered. So, again, all the credit goes to everybody out there who's getting the word out and spreading the word. And because the alternative media is becoming the dominant media by every yardstick that we can measure it, and because the old media is imploding, we see the New York Times, the London Guardian, talking about Internet 2 and openly saying they're going to shut down the old web and, quote, have a controlled gatekeeped. That was a quote in the New York Times that they were going to have a controlled gatekeeped area where you give up your freedom for security. Well, those that know history know that when you give up liberty, you don't get security, you get tyranny and enslavement. So they're moving with ending net neutrality, with taxation on the Internet at the state and federal international level. They're moving to basically make the Internet be a glorified cable channel, but instead of 500 channels, you have 3,000 or 4,000 channels, and Comcast is already starting that in Canada, Time Warner in the United States. And we have to remember that Google and Yahoo and Microsoft helped build the infrastructure in China and in scores of other nations that do censor the web and control the content that can come through. So they are adepts at this, and Google, YouTube, Microsoft, obviously Google owned by YouTube owned by Google, it's been documented or basically set up by the Central Intelligence Agency and the Defense Department to try to dominate and control the Internet. So we need to use this tool. We need to simultaneously fight for the future of the Internet and defend its open source nature and its current architecture and expand that. But in case they're successful, we need to continue into other venues and other platforms on the ground with activism, with the printed press, with things like documentary films, making copies of films and getting them out to people.
Absolutely. Well, I couldn't agree with your analysis more, but you've covered an incredible amount of information there. Let's start breaking some of that down. So, for example, let's talk a little bit about the rise of internet-based citizen journalism. What do you think is the significance of this movement, and where do you think it's headed?
Well, it's so significant that police all over the United States will tell citizen journalists to turn their cameras off. We saw the train shooting at a subway system in the Bay Area on the West Coast where they confiscated several camera phones and then said that they didn't have any cameras or that the cameras malfunctioned that were there on the train platform. And then it came out that other people on board a train and down the platform had videotaped it. And so that cold-blooded murder was exposed. So they're very desperate right now all over the United States, routinely college students out doing an architecture study or folks with Amtrak who follow their national contest for photos of the train system for advertisement. They get arrested or they get given tickets or their cameras get confiscated. And now in England, they've just passed a law that photographing police is an act of terrorism. And they say, well, only if we can prove it's to help terrorists. But they're saying if it could any way help terrorists, the way it's written, they can now say, well, you took photos of police officers. That could be used because it was on YouTube or Google or on Facebook by terrorists. So you get 10 years in prison and a giant fine. And people say, oh, that won't happen. Well, I'm glad to see thousands of reporters went down to Scotland Yard and photographers and videographers and protested by taking photos of the police. The problem is I have been in England filming Terror Storm 3 years ago, and it's on video when the police walk over and say, turn your cameras off, when I'm just on the street corner interviewing people or even videotaping Parliament from a half mile away. And they put me in a terrorist database as a form of intimidation. And every person I know in England, and I know more than 10 people, two of them are the Watsons that do work for my websites, the Watson brothers, and they'll be taking their girlfriend out on a date, and the police walk up, line everybody up, ask for their papers, start searching them, and put them in databases. And so it's all part of training the public to be searched and controlled. But now they're saying it'll be an act of terrorism to videotape the police. But I believe the public, and it was great to see citizen journalists, even mainstream media, are going to rebel and just videotape and photograph police even more and put it on the web. So the establishment is losing the info war because they're in the wrong, but they're moving to not just curtail and shut down and restrict and choke the free Internet as we know it, and force it on the Internet too, which they control, and where you have a sub-website on one of their platforms and then waive your rights, like Facebook or YouTube, to be on there. And they can erase you anytime they want. They are also trying to physically, on the ground, choke and stop citizen journalists. But we saw this in the Renaissance. We saw this in the 1776, in the decade leading up to it with the Sons of Liberty in the United States. This is only going to foment more citizen journalism. And, folks, you don't have to be, quote, radical, talking about the FEMA camps and the martial law and the New World Order and the banking takeover, though that's the most important issue to cover right now. You can just have a local neighborhood newsletter you put out, or you can put out a local citywide website and start taking photos as a hobby and write little reports, and it will end up getting more traffic if you just do it for a few months or a few years than most major city websites, because people instinctively don't trust the mainstream media anymore, and just at a gut level. I mean, more evidence of that is Congress having an 11% approval rating or a 9% approval rating. It's been that low before. That the whole system is bankrupt and the people know it. And I think the fact that the establishment's trying to quash free speech and citizen journalism will only add more oxygen to the fires of liberty.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think you touched on an important point there, that the rise of the new media is really predicated upon the death of the old media. So, of course, as the old media starts to die out, of course, they're trying to quash free speech and citizen journalism. But another way that they might try to take over the movement is to try to put a false copy or a false paradigm of the citizen journalism movement in the controlled corporate media. So can you speak to that, some of the false ways they're trying to take over or co-opt the energy out of the alternative media?
Absolutely. They're going to try to co-opt. I've had a lot of big executives call me